Today on Jay Sekulow Live, Rachel Maddow and CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, oppose a judicial nominee to the federal court because he's Jewish and supports the state of Israel.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
It would definitely be a better line for CARE, just to be honest. Instead of saying that CARE demands Trump withdraw judicial nominee Stephen Menashe, who argues for ethno-nationalism, they don't tell you where he argues that, of course, promotes Islamophobic hoax. The Law Review article that they're referencing that he wrote in 2010 was about a justification for the state of Israel, which is a Jewish state, though very diverse, both ethnically, but with a tie from all those different ethnic backgrounds. Of one thing that ties all those different ethnic backgrounds, why you can have Ethiopians and Russians and Ukrainians and Iraqis and Iranians, all part of this formation, many other countries. Go to every country, Australians, South Africans. And why? What ties it all together? What ties it all together is that they're Jewish. So the better headline here would be CARE demands Trump withdraw Jewish judicial nominee, Stephen Menashe. Because that's what it really is about. It's about this growing anti-Semitism we're seeing in our country because of groups like the Council on American Islamic Relations, people like Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, and the Squad, but also Rachel Maddow from MSNBC. She's got involved with this, and she might as well be part of the CARE crowd too. So Rachel Maddow, why are you opposing a judicial nominee just because he's Jewish and supports the Jewish state of Israel? That makes you no longer qualified to be a U.S. federal judge? Rachel, you're just as anti-Semitic as all these other groups. So go do a CARE fundraiser, maybe, instead of putting out this vile hatred on your television broadcast. I know you've had some tough times lately with the numbers there. But again, this is just disgusting coming out of MSNBC. And the way that these attacks have been fomented on this judicial nominee, who, by the way, you know, again, let's be honest, they just don't like his judicial philosophy, but they don't want to get into that because that's a losing argument, right, with people. His judicial philosophy, he was a clerk, Supreme Court clerk, to Justice Alito. All right, that's strike one if you really want to get through the far left like Maddow. Part two, so I guess strike two, was a special counsel to President Trump. Uh-oh. He worked for the President of the United States as a lawyer in the White House as a special counsel. Okay, that's strike two for them. And strike three, he supports Israel. Oh, he's got to be out. Now, what we need you to do is start really building a grassroots campaign of support for Stephen Menashe. Again, he's just been nominated by President Trump. So those confirmation hearings, they haven't even been set yet. And yet you're starting to see the war develop. I want to go quickly to Than in Washington, D.C., because Than, we put that blog out yesterday, starting to get people ready, and it's a great at ACLJ.org. It's got all the information you need there. We're going to be talking about this today. In light of all of these other, all the other anti-Semitism now we're seeing in our own country, these, again, cloaked in, whether it's all about the Benjamins or this anti-Israel sentiment, Than, that we're seeing infect all Democrats and their and the Democrat news network, if you will, MSNBC, and their main. Their main opinion host of the person who gets the highest rating stand on MSNBC is taking the same position as the Council on American Islamic Relations.
Yeah, pretty unreal, Jordan. Listen, this nomination should depend on his qualifications, and yet this kind of attack, it's pretty ironic, Jordan, given the diverse background that he comes from. He's got a unique appreciation for the diversity in the United States and the need for a homeland for the Jewish people. But I'll just tell you quickly, Jordan, the goal here from the left and Rachel Maddow is to kill this nomination before it gets started, because if he gets to a hearing and they see his qualifications, he's going to get confirmed. So this next 2 or 3 weeks, Jordan, this is the key stretch.
Okay, folks, this is what we need you to do. Get involved and get educated. Support the work of the ACLJ. It's another example of the work we do getting behind these judicial nominees. It's a matching challenge month. Anything you donate is double. Donate today at ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
All right, let me make it clear to everyone who is listening on your radio station, Sirius XM. If you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, get your comments in. Share this broadcast with your friends and family now, because this is something we could take action on. A brand new judicial nomination is made by President Trump. This is someone who served as special counsel in the White House to the president, also clerked for Supreme Court Justice, Justice Alito. So has had all of the right. He was assistant professor of law at George Mason University School of Law. So this is someone who has the credentials to be an excellent judicial nominee to the Second Circuit Court of Appeals. Nomination is made. The attacks start coming, not from even members of the Judiciary Committee, by the way. The first two attacks that we've seen are from the Council on American Islamic Relations, an unindicted co-conspirator in a terror case, an organization that the Obama FBI said don't work with this group because of their ties to terrorism and extremist activity. Don't bring them in as experts. Don't bring them in to help. So as a warning to all government agencies not to utilize CARE for any purposes, and to law enforcement agencies as well, working at the local levels where CARE operates, local organizations, don't bring them in. Don't utilize them for your resources because of the group's ties to radicalism. So CARE opposes the nominee because he's Jewish and supports Israel. And Rachel Maddow does too. So Rachel, why not be clear and just tell everybody, you don't like this nominee because he's Jewish and happens to support Israel. And that to you is disqualifying for the federal circuit. I tend to believe that you're just trying to look for something, because you can't say, I don't like him as a nominee, even though he's got all the credentials, because he might not share your exact judicial philosophy. Well, that's too difficult for your audience to understand, because ours certainly would. We've had those discussions in the past about nominees by President Obama. But I guess yours needs something like he's a racist for being a Jewish and supporting Israel. That's what she says. Take a listen. This is a long rant she went on, or really more of like an entire segment of her a television broadcast. It's Byte 13.
This document, this is something that I never expected to have to read as part of my day job. It is a law review article that is titled Ethno-Nationalism and Liberal Democracy. Ethno-nationalism, ethnic nationalism. Here's the thesis statement of this ethno-nationalism law review article. Quote, this article argues that ethno-nationalism remains a common and accepted feature of liberal democracy that is consistent with current state practice and international law. But it ends with this sort of war cry about how a country can't work, how definitely democracy can't work unless the country is defined by a unifying race.
Of course, she likes to skip over all the rest of it. You know, it's too legal. It's too intense. Yeah, it's a law review article. It's supposed to be, in one sense, provocative, but also in the other sense, to get people thinking. So you have to read the whole article and then academically approach it. I mean, it's not something to do in 10 minutes on any kind of broadcast if you haven't really fully gone through everything, which I doubt she did. Instead, she's just pulling parts. What she doesn't like is that this article was setting up the case for why you can have a functioning democracy and the Jewish state of Israel, and that one does not exclude the other. So to have a Jewish state for Jewish people doesn't mean that you can't be a functioning democracy. It's a very strong pushback against those who endorse a one-state solution, which would be an end to the Jewish state of Israel because of just raw numbers of how many Muslims there would be if you allow, you know, if you and Arabs. So take away even the religious factors of it. Arabs, Muslims, there would be more Arabs. They would outnumber the Jews. Then, and there would no longer be a Jewish state, which was created so it'd be a refuge for this small community, internationally small compared to the how many Arabs there are, how many Muslims there are, or Christians there are, and different types and different backgrounds. The Jewish state of Israel, which is, by the way, for all those people with the different kinds of Judaism or no Judaism but are Jewish, and they like to ignore that fact. So you've got Ethiopian Jews there. You have Jews from Iran there. You have Jews from Eastern Europe there. Very different backgrounds. Practice their faith differently or may have no faith at all. May not be religious at all, but need a refuge. And by the way, they figured out how to make that work in the Jewish state of Israel. And that doesn't work in like Saudi Arabia. It doesn't work in Iran. They you know, this side-by-side coexistence of even different kind of Muslims has not worked. I mean, and so has it worked for the Jordanians when they tried to give a refuge to Palestinians, a home? Oh, you can be Jordanian, which makes a lot of sense, actually, because it's basically lines drawn by the British dividing those two. But yet they got so violent that Jordanians also said, you know, never mind. We can't deal with this. You try to assassinate all of our leaders. You were successful in some. We're not going to continue to do this. But getting back to the nominee. Do you understand now that in the United States, as we said yesterday, Than, what has been become unprecedented to me, and we're taking your phone calls on this at 1-800-684-3110, because a lot of people listen to this broadcast, they may not be Jewish, though we have a pretty large Jewish audience, but they certainly, I think most of them support the state of Israel. And Than, now that support for the state of Israel would disqualify them from jobs? They are racist now because they support the state of Israel?
Well, according to Rachel Maddow, it certainly looks like that. And by the way, it's a complete mischaracterization of the so-called war cry that ends this article. I mean, I think she was referring to the final sentence, which says liberal democracy requires a national community if it has become more than an ineffectual abstraction. Jordan, I think that is a goal that the United States would share, that we would be a national community. And by the way, just a couple of other things I think she needs corrected on. Jewish people, as you said, Jordan, come from diverse racial backgrounds. Also, race and ethnicity, those are not factors in Israel when determining political rights of their citizens. Also, in this article, Jordan, Mr. Menashe never questioned the benefits of ethnic diversity. And in fact, he is himself a product of ethnic diversity. We went through some of this, but his father was born in Iran to Iraqi Jews. They lived in Baghdad, Tehran, and eventually Israel. His maternal grandparents came to the United States from Ukraine and Lithuania. And even on his wife's side, Jordan, that their family came to the United States as Jewish refugees from Russia. That's the guy, Jordan, that Rachel Maddow thinks cannot be a federal judge because he's just too hostile to ethnic diversity. No, Jordan, that is the kind of guy who appreciates the ethnic diversity that we have in the United States while simultaneously understanding why a homeland for the Jewish people is needed.
Folks, this is why I would take your calls on. It's 1-800-684-3110. Do you realize this is one step away from saying you can't be a strong supporter of your own country? Like, you couldn't be a strong supporter of U.S., of the United States of America. And this idea that you have to have some kind of national unity that does, in a sense, unite very diverse places. Well, that's the whole goal, as Than said, of this experience we call America. and this experiment we call America, is that you can have this melting pot, people from all different parts of the world, different backgrounds, different faiths, no faiths at all, lots of differing viewpoints when it comes to politics, but that we can all, if we need to and when we need to, and in a sense we always do, day to day we enter in like a social contract with each other that we're not going to just start fights based off this, and that the people who do are outliers and get punished accordingly. The people who carry out some atrocity are the outliers, not the norm in the United States of America. And that's how this experiment has been extremely successful, is that we unite around being American. But we do have something that unites us. If there is nothing, if you don't unite around being proud of your country, if everybody's kneeling at the Pledge of Allegiance, if everybody is opposed to the police, if everybody is opposed to the military, it's everybody is opposed to every action that the U.S. government takes. They're not just saying, by the way, hey, you know, next election, we'll have our chance. We can vote out Trump if we want. We can vote in, keep Trump in if we want. I mean, we can, you know, all different sides, different views, get that view. Now, we're now coming to a point where, I mean, they haven't gone this far, but I think it's more because it just sounds absurd. Like, they don't want to say they're just opposing this nominee because he's a Jew who happens to support Israel. But that's the breakdown of it. He supports Israel as a Jewish state. And as you saw from Ilhan Omar and Tlaib, just saying you support Israel, that's all you need to say anymore, because they won't even use Israel in a positive sense. That means Jewish state. Because they don't want to keep that name if they get their one state solution to, what, push the Jews into the sea? They're going to be quoting the Ayatollah and other radical extremists. Again, I think when it gets from care and then you get Rachel Maddow, and they're not just talking like issues. They are specifically coming after a nominee to the Second Circuit Court of Appeals, someone who's extremely qualified. But now he's a racist Jew for supporting a Jewish state in Israel and praising diversity in America and how we unite nationally in support of our country. Understand that, folks. We're going to play more from Rachel Maddow for you. But again, this is the truth. We are steps away from them saying, oh, if you're a strong supporter, oh, you do the pledge? You pledge allegiance to the flag? I don't think you're qualified. You don't understand. You're a racist. You're two steps away from that if you accept this as an argument for someone not to be qualified. We're going to start taking action, so we're starting to get you informed. We got the blog up at aclj.org. This is part of what we do at the ACLJ. We get behind these nominees who are under attack and make sure we push back and make sure Mitch McConnell and others know we're with these nominees. All right, folks, go to aclj.org. Support our work. Double the impact of your donation today.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Article that Rachel Maddow read, it was slightly blood-curdling, because if you're going to define someone as being a racist, that's only slightly blood-curdling to a liberal reader. She's a Rhodes Scholar. She knew what she was reading if she read it. It only slightly boiled her blood, but he's a racist. So I just think about that. I guess, you know, not easy. I mean, not difficult for Rachel Maddow to come to the terms that you're a racist. Doesn't even get her blood boiling. I mean, only slightly, at least. Take a listen. Bite 8.
This is the, you know, law review slash academic wordy bird argument that you can't really have a country, at least you can't have a country that works if you've got all sorts of different people in it, right? Surely it does not serve the cause of liberal democracy to ignore this reality. Right? That's how you know this is a highbrow argument for racial purity in the nation state when they say things like, surely everyone must admit this. Don't you just feel it in your gut? The author of this slightly blood-curdling, very serious law review article is named Stephen Menashe. The reason you need to know it is because Donald Trump just nominated him to be a federal appeals court judge.
Okay. So one, that's not what he says. He says that you've got to have something that unifies your diverse country. And in America, we have that because we're the United States of America. We unite around our constitutionally enumerated freedoms, the freedoms that we find in the Bill of Rights, in the amendments to the Constitution, into the laws, the political system where we elect our leaders in peaceful way, and we have peaceful transfers of power between presidents. No other countries have quite figured that out the way we have, where they don't have, and even if they are kind of doing this form of democracy, let's say, no one has it as kind of, I'd say, well-timed. You know, we have the 2 years for House members, 6-year terms for U.S. senators. We have 4-year terms for presidents. And we know then as Americans, we give enough time to leaders based off what role we're electing them for to have an impact. So in the Senate, it takes long. You have to have much more staff. You represent an entire state. You're not elected to just one half of your state. You're elected for the entire state. House members, again, for the most part, though there are some who represent only their state, it's based more on population. So it's based more on the district and doing services. Then you can work your way up, but you don't start out in the House with a huge staff and so much to take care of. And you do as a senator. So you need more time to kind of get your way so you can actually represent your people correctly. And then the president gets 4 years to at least show the American people, this is what I'm going to get started, have some chance to actually get through on some things. So some things will start being executed, which is the executive branch's role. And then if you would like to continue on this path, you can elect me for 4 more years. But something's got to unify you, right? Or else, you know, but we're pretty used to that kind of system, right? You go to the other place that are labeled democracy, even in the state of Israel, where you do have that a Democrat system, and it works in the sense that there's peaceful transitions of power. But we don't have so many of the, they're more in the parliamentary sense, parliamentary-style democracies where the leader, the prime minister, can be constantly called on to rerun, and you have new elections and different elections, you know, almost all the time. And you never really, the government gets to set, not a constitutional document, but the government in charge gets to set when the next election will be and gets to put these terms out. I'm not saying one is necessarily better than the other, but here in the United States, I think we have one of the most predictable and functioning methods of democracy and the greatest in the sense of scope. Yes, India is the world's largest now, what they would call democracy. We do a lot of work in India. My wife started an organization called One Life Movement that's in India, I will tell you, and this is someone who really enjoys visiting the country. It is not a democracy in the terms that we kind of understand it from a lot of people in India. And that doesn't mean it's not on the right path, and it's a long path, but I'll tell you, I mean, that is again, it takes a long time to get election results, a month to get election results, and so many people voting, so many people in difficult spots. But I'm taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110 because I'm not going to let it stand for this a nominee like this, who happens to be Jewish, to come from backgrounds as diverse as what Than went through, to be called a racist and then not qualified by people like Rachel Maddow. And surprise, surprise, who's echoing the same message as Rachel Maddow, Andy? The Council on American Islamic Relations. Yeah. I'm sure that's where she was even, she didn't even know about this until CARE probably put the press release out.
Well, you know, you have this vitriolic, shrewish language that she uses, and this is Rachel Maddow's forte, and this is what she traffics in, but I don't think that she has even read the article that is in question here. And I've read parts of that article, and here's what this judge of the Second Circuit said, and I want you someone to tell me what's wrong with it. Self-government requires a political partnership in which individuals are willing and able to regard one another as equal members of the policy's community. Democratic self-government depends on national fellow feeling, the capacity of citizens to identify with each other. Ethnic ties provide the groundwork for social trust and political solidarity. What in the world did he say that is un-American, Islamophobic, erroneous, unconstitutional, improper, or anti-anything that we stand for in America? The man made a statement that is absolutely succinct in what it says in terms of what our government is all about. A political partnership in which we regard each other as equal members of the community and depending on national fellow feeling and identification with each other. Ethnic ties, that means the ties of us as Americans, because ultimately the ethnos in Greek means the nation. She needs to learn what the word means. Look it up and read it. Ethnos means the nation. In Greece, we say zito to ethnos, long live the nation. We don't say long live the Poles, the Armenians, the Greeks, the Slavs, the Russians, whatever. We mean the nation. And those ties provide the groundwork for what? Social trust and political solidarity. There's not one thing that he said that was wrong.
No, this is, again, this is being spun. So it looks like she started this tirade on the 15th of August, and CARE came out the next day. So CARE was just taking Rachel Maddow. In fact, in CARE's press release, they have a screen clip from MSNBC. Very telling. So the chosen network of the extremist Islamists in America is MSNBC. Just note that next time you may be passing through your cable news channels and you want to get some entertainment or get upset, very upset about the state of some people's thought in your country and how it's being used by people who are pretty smart on paper, right? I mean, Rachel Maddow is a Rhodes Scholar. No one's taking this away from her. But, you know, she's very academically smart. And you know what that likely means, unfortunately? So far out there left, she can't even read, like Andy just went through. Who's also very academically smart.
Thank you.
The basics. And we can call you a doctor. How many doctors can we call here? How many this and that, which we take out for radio? Because, one, we don't need to constantly wear it on our sleeve, like the MSNBC guests usually have to do. To prove that they should be listened to or that their analysis is correct. But we could on this broadcast go through and do that, those kind of things. It is absurd, folks. It is 2019, and we're seeing a rise in anti-Semitism at every level of our society. And here it's involving a judicial nominee, which means there's something you can do about it. Standing with the nominee, standing with the ACLJ. Donate today and have your donation doubled so we can continue to do this work. ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Stanford law grad, clerk for Justice Samuel Alito on the U.S. Supreme Court, clerk for a D.C. Circuit judge, went to private practice at a major firm, then after private practice was an assistant professor at George Mason University's law school, later served as acting general counsel to the Department of Education, and most recently, senior associate counsel and special assistant to the president. So senior associate counsel and special assistant to the president. Now, I think there's a lot of reasons why, if you take Rachel Maddow's liberal political stances, that you wouldn't like this nominee. Okay, you could say a clerk for Justice Alito. Now, you may want to wait to actually hear what the nominee has to say before attacking them, even just based off their legal career. Oh, George Mason, isn't that kind of conservative? Also, worked for Donald Trump. You mean worked for the president of the United States as a senior associate counsel, and then that other role, special assistant to the president. We're taking your phone calls on this, 1-800-684-3110, but I do want to get more of our team in. It's interesting because someone on Facebook wrote in, Sabrina wrote in, why is it the left cries racism but continues to spew anti-Semitic rhetoric? And I want to go to Wes on this, because Wes, one of the things we talked about yesterday, which was interesting, was that when Rashida Tlaib, who are extremely liberal on the far left, supposedly, one is a Democrat socialist, the place that they were crying that they couldn't visit had banned LGBT groups from even coming together the very same day they were having their press conference.
Yeah, I mean, it's like they don't want to be confused with the facts, and they definitely have selective indignation. You would think they would stand against that. They're totally silent on that, and yet they want to criticize the Middle East-only democracy where people really do have individual rights and human rights. I think the nexus, Jordan, between the squad, including Representatives Omar and Tlaib and CARE, and left-leaning talking heads like Maddow is very, very interesting. And their support for terror groups and quasi-terrorist groups, it is very rich that CARE has called for Menashe's nomination to be withdrawn. This is a group that some countries, including the United Arab Emirates, they have designated CARE as a terrorist group. CARE, founded in 1994, was an unindicted co-conspirator with the Holy Land Foundation, which was about funding terrorism. I mean, they are not a wholesome group, and yet Omar, twice this year, has been the keynote speaker at fundraisers for CARE. CARE presents itself as a civil rights group. It is a fake civil rights group, and it has a direct connection to the support of terror, Islamic terror.
Let me go to Harry as well. Harry, to bring you into, you were at George Mason, just so everybody's clear on that. But this idea, again, that in the United States of America, you are no longer someone who is qualified to serve in our judiciary. So you're no longer qualified to be a duly confirmed through the advice and consent of the U.S. Senate nominee to anything if you happen to be someone who supports Israel. And that this casual use of racism and this naming, calling people racist, defining them as racist is, to me, I mean, it's just, these terms like don't matter anymore. They become political. It's like calling someone conservative now.
Absolutely.
Which is not good for the term racism when there is real racism. It is not good for conservatives or liberals, because what term are you going to define someone who's actually done something racist?
Well, essentially the left has launched an all-out war on conservatives and common sense Americans. And as part of this war or this attempt to attack, essentially, they're trying to diminish the term racism when they actually have engaged in racism themselves. So consistent with Representative Omar and Tlaib's groundless attack on Israel as a racist nation, and after launching a richly bigoted attack on Judge Amy Barrett for her Christian faith, the left has now launched another bigoted attack on a Jewish American, and they now label him a racist despite the ethnic diversity in his background.
One step away from saying you're a racist if you proudly say the Pledge of Allegiance. You realize that? That's one step from there. It's not even three. I think I'm saying three or four. Go to acLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
All right, Raj has been holding on line one. Let's get people to start commenting, get their comments in on this. And let me make sure, just right before we go to Raj, that it's clear to everyone what we're doing here, which is to expose all of this, really what's happened the last 24, 48 hours, and then tie in something real. So it's not just rhetoric that's being used. But here we have a judicial nominee to the Second Circuit, the second highest courts in our land, if you will, the Circuit Courts of Appeals. The federal level. Someone who did everything to build a career on the career path that if one day someone did notice, they could note, they could be. If they so chose, by the way, there's a lot of people who take these routes and then decide they don't want to take on these lifetime appointments to the bench. But this is someone who had the clerkships, had the legal career, went to the right, law schools, was a not only had the legal career and after clerkships at law firms, but then also himself was a professor of law at a major law school, George Mason University, and then goes into the government, becomes an acting general counsel to an entire department. That was the Department of Education. And ultimately, as a deputy a counsel to the president, and just to get the exact term right, I want to make sure we're giving him the right, a senior associate counsel to the president and special assistant. So kind of done. If you didn't know who that president was, or I didn't even get into the clerkships, just the clerk for Supreme Court nominee, taught at a major law school, went to a top five law school, did it all. Worked also in the private sector, a huge law firm. Literally kind of done all those pieces you would be putting together to perform with someone who's got the right idea, right temperament to be a circuit court nominee. They had the right temperament to clerk for a Supreme Court justice, chosen to clerk for a Supreme Court justice, the right temperament to clerk for a circuit court judge, as they did. Major law firm says they've got the right temperament to be part of our major law firm that's very diverse and different, and people from all different political walks and racial walks of life. I mean, the fact that we even have to say that now, in 2019, it's kind of gross, right? I mean, like, doesn't mean you don't fight real racism in your country to wipe that out. But if everybody starts becoming a racist because you just don't like their politics, then how do we actually fight real racism? I mean, it's kind of like we're leaving behind the groups that are ethnically need protection in our country, and that we need to do more to make things better. And that's why it hurts me. I think it's kind of, you know, it's so disheartening for those who are living in the rougher towns, the rougher parts of town, the rougher parts of the city, who do need more help, who do need to be less isolated. And sometimes, by the way, it may be someone who represents them who is a problem. They may share the color of their skin, but they may not share the actual best interest. And so, but yet you can't ever get into those issues anymore. Like, you know, if you criticize Baltimore or certain areas of Baltimore who happen to be represented by someone who's African-American in Congress, you are a racist for asking that African-American about why is his district so bad? Like, why aren't you doing more at the federal level for your district? Especially as a Democrat, you love funding and government, all this and that. Why are you not doing more? But just asking those questions, even at, you know, asking Ilhan Omar or Rashida Tlaib a question about who they are, and not necessarily like a question that would be difficult for any of you to answer. Is it difficult for most of you out there to answer who you're married to? Or if you had divorces, who you were divorced from? Like, if you had to answer that question from, and you were going to be a federal official, is that a difficult question for anyone listening to this broadcast right now to answer? Who are you currently married to? And who were you married to in the past? Right? I mean, if you're going to apply for a job to serve the public, it's appropriate, right? I think for most people, this would be like the easy question. The tough question is supposed to be about policies, or if you support this, I support that. What are you going to do for the community? Oh, don't ask that, though, to Ilhan Omar, you Islamophobic person. If you were even thinking you could. Islamophobic. Nationalist oppressor. Because supporting your country, supporting your nation is now bad in the United States of America. It makes you than now. I guess we're hearing from the outside forces. But let me tell you something. Rachel Maddow is not such a small force within the Democrat Party, especially when you got a presidential election going on, because that's their friendly network of choice. And I think, you know, that's what their staffs watch, especially in the primary process. So they're going to be, again, if they get pushed around on judicial nominees, I wouldn't be surprised if one of them pulls this example out because they saw Rachel Maddow do it.
No, they will, Jordan. I mean, this article that I'm holding in my hands right now, the one that Rachel Maddow referenced, this will be an exhibit during the Senate Judiciary Committee hearing. I almost guarantee it because of Rachel Maddow bringing it to the forefront. But look, this is one of the things that we try to do at the ACLJ, Jordan. We're not going to let the United States Senate get away with letting Rachel Maddow do their work. We're going to make sure that they read this article themselves, that they look at Mr. Menasche's qualifications themselves, that they look at it directly, and they see if these statements are correct. I mean, Jordan, just two examples. She claimed that it was a highbrow argument for racial purity and that it was an academic wordy bird argument that you can't have a real country if you've got all sorts of different people in it. No, it's not, Jordan. I mean, this article is an academic defense of the fact that Israel can be both a liberal democracy and a Jewish state at the same time. And again, Jordan, I'll just say it again. I mean, you come from different racial backgrounds as a person of Jewish heritage. We're going to make sure that the members of the committee know that as a fact and that they get this as a specific example and that we demand they read it directly, not just read Rachel Maddow's interpretation of it because she found one word in the title a little bit scary. Jordan, one final level to this. We're going to make sure that those members of the committee on both sides of the aisle know which of their voters signed our petitions, insisting that they actually look at the record as opposed to just whatever smear Rachel Maddow or some member of the media wants to make. Do their work, Jordan. Read the data for themselves and evaluate him on his qualifications.
And folks, we do that. We're able to make sure members of Congress, and specifically here, the U.S. senators, have to do that. And by the way, we put that pressure on Republicans. There are some Republicans we're going to have to make sure hold the right line here, if you will. Ask the right questions. Get informed the right way. Aren't persuaded by right now, Rachel Maddow, CARE, then it will be kind of more mainstream media and some of those more moderate members of the U.S. Senate who are Republicans will also have to focus there. We're able to have this a large government affairs operation, you know, right on Capitol Hill because of your support to the American Center for Law and Justice. It's like we're able to file the court cases. It's like we're able to operate overseas. We're able to operate in Jerusalem. We have the office in Capitol Hill, where our team is always ready on these judicial nominees. Some have been easier down this road. We've had the Supreme Court battles that have been, one of those was particularly tough. Here, it used to be, even more difficult when there was the filibuster applied, but it was Harry Reid who started with the doing away of that. So you still have to make sure, though. I mean, you know, we're a few votes one way or the other here. I mean, it's not like Republicans have 57 seats in the U.S. Senate, and they're all conservative. That's not the case. But we can't do this work without you. Those offices don't exist. Thans teams don't exist. This broadcast doesn't exist. ACLJ Jerusalem certainly wouldn't exist without the support of all of you. Many of you who have donated before, some who may just be thinking about donating for the first time to ACLJ. August is a great time to do it. You know, as people are getting back into the swing of things, and we're going to play for some of you in a moment, and you know, I will get to Raj. When we come back from this break, we're going to take all the phone calls. That's what we're going to do, a final segment. If you want to get in on this, 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. That's 1-800-684-3110. But why we do all of this and how we do all of this comes down to you. So I want to make it very clear right now that we need your support at the American Center for Law and Justice. You know that we don't do this all the time. Most of the year, you will hardly ever even hear us utilize the broadcast for this purpose. Some shows do that every single day. It's a large part of their in and out, and every 4 minutes of their 8-minute segment might be that or more. We don't do that often, but we have to do it sometimes because we have to keep operating, and we have to make sure that you know if you are a donor, kind of like how are we doing and is everything good? And in this month, we are a little bit behind. Some of that was just realities, what was happening in our country and utilizing our broadcast, also our social media in a way that's respectful. You know, in times when the nation is in mourning or there's been a something that is troubling that's happened in the country, and we don't stop talking on the air, but we pull back a bit just to let people as well. I think it's just kind of what you're supposed to do, what you should do. Put it there as an American, proud American, an American. But we need your support. You can donate online right now at aclj.org. And August is a great time to do it as people are getting back to school, the president's back in the White House, because it's a matching challenge month. You double the impact of your donation. We're about to have a team up at the United Nations. There's a team, you know, it's not just Than in Washington, D.C. There's a team that we have there ready to go on this nominee because of your support. Make sure those teams are well-funded. Make sure those teams have all the resources they need. And that's because of you. So if you donate in the month of August, we have donors ready to match every donation we receive. So you double the impact of your donation. $25 like $50 donation, but all your charge is $25. Donate today at aclj.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
segment of the broadcast. If you want to be on the air, you got to call about right now. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Raj is calling from Virginia. Raj, sorry we had to get through that, but I wanted to really keep people updated on this issue, and so they understand, you know, because back to back on these issues. Raj, appreciate you holding. You're on the air now.
Thank you. You have indeed emphasized and enlarged all that I was trying to say, and you put it far more eloquently, far more pointedly. But I will venture to suggest, as reinforcing all that you said, we have got to have a preemptive, massive strike at the committee stage. All these committee members, all the tripe they've spouted for years, has got to stop. What they did to Judge Amy Barrett, that should not happen again. Therefore, our attack should begin now on the key perpetrators of that at that time. And well, thank you for pointing out the role of the blog and the bloggers. I believe we've got the talent, we've got the abilities to really make a massive attack, and you're spearheading this, and to make that massive donation which during this matching grant period.
Thank you. So, hey, Raj, you know, I appreciate so much, and I appreciate your comments always on the broadcast. Raj, one of our regular callers, strong listener, strong supporter of the ACLJ. Again, for people who are new to the broadcast, we're adding new stations every day. And Raj, I know that you, I think, have all of our current books that are available, so we're going to put you down for the next red wave. I think you're the first one. You're the first caller who has been on hold, and the next red wave is my new book, which will be out September 24th. I want to thank many of you made your pre-orders last week. We were actually doing the audiobook last week as well. We were not on the air, so it was a lot of talking last week. But it'll be great as well. So if you like audiobooks, I will tell you that this was one that was really well produced. And, you know, we have the capabilities to do that because we bring you a live broadcast every day. Again, however you would like to pre-order the book, whether it's the audio, whether it is the book itself, I really encourage you. You can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, The Next Red Wave, How Conservatives Can Beat Leftist Aggression, Rhino Betrayal, and Deep State Subversion. And I will say this, it's a lot more political than even we get on this broadcast. It's a lot more straight up about the realities of what we're facing in the 2020 election. And Sean Hannity calls it a must read for anyone who cares about America. When he said that, we said, oh, let's put that on the cover. And that my dad does the Ford as well. He's a number one New York Times bestselling author, a number of books as well. So, again, check out The Next Red Wave. You can go to thenextredwave.com. That's thenextredwave.com, and find out all the places you can pre-order today. And we'll make sure Raj is that first caller on that list to get that. Let's go back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Heather's calling in from Arkansas on line two. Heather, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to ask, does the left really think that spewing this anti-Semitic rhetoric and practices, do they really think the American people are going to just lay over and reelect them when, if they've ever read history, the U.S. has been a major supporter of Israel since its founding?
It is shocking. I mean, Harry, our president said what we said yesterday on the air. He said yesterday as well. He went back and he said, you know, like, who would have thought, like, 4 years ago, Harry, that even a year ago, I mean, so you don't have to go back 4 years, just go back to last year, Nancy Pelosi, 2018. I mean, you would never have thought Democrats, this was the one area that we did actually have kind of bipartisan unity on, which was support for the state of Israel. I mean, it was Nancy Pelosi who said that that if the Capitol crumbled, we would still be not aiding Israel, but coordinating and working with our ally, Israel. I mean, here's President Trump by two.
You should see the things that the four of them have said about Israel over the last couple of years. I mean, Omar is a disaster for Jewish people. I can't imagine if she has any Jewish people in her district that they could possibly vote for.
I mean, as I said, I think what's key there is that these last couple of years, Harry, we've seen a big change in the last couple of years. probably beginning with the left's rise through and via Bernie Sanders.
I think that is correct. So I think your analysis is spot on. The Democrats used to be united with Republicans. They formed a bipartisan consensus in supporting Israel, our strongest, most reliable ally in the Middle East. Now the Democratic Party has been torn apart to some extent by the left, and Democratic leaders essentially have unleashed the squad to go after Israel. And they've called Israel a ton of hateful names. They've launched anti-Semitic attacks. They've strongly supported BDS. They call Israel an apartheid nation. They call Israel a racist nation when nothing could be further from the truth. And so now the Democrats are going after Stephen Menashe, a well-qualified Stanford law graduate who has clerked for a Supreme Court justice, clerked for Doug Ginsburg, a D.C. Court of Appeals justice, worked at a solid law school, and who now serves as special counsel to the President of the United States, who is, after all, the real target of many of these baseless, groundless attacks. So the left is clearly willing to use racism as a club to beat its opponents, even if it's groundless, even if it's baseless. It reminds me again of the attacks launched on Amy Barrett. Basically, Senator Feinstein suggested that the dogma lives deeply within Amy Barrett, a well-qualified nominee for the Seventh Circuit, who also happens to be Catholic. So if you are a practicing Catholic, if you're a practicing Jew, if you, for instance, are a member of any religious organization, essentially the left has said it is open season on you, particularly if you are affiliated with Donald Trump.
I'm going to get everybody's kind of final thoughts on this, Wes, and Andy, and Than as well, to kind of explain what we're doing about it.
Well, here's the deal concerning Israel. We don't support Israel simply because it's a Jewish state. We support them because they share our commitment to human rights, unlike some of the other groups that care and others support. Also because it's the only democracy in the Middle East. They are a key strategic ally. We share critical intel back and forth with Israel for our own nation's security. So it's not just because they're a Jewish state. And the support of Israel should never come under the microscope like this. And somehow you're not patriotic if you support Israel.
Andy, quickly.
There's nothing wrong with the man who said ethno-nationalism remains a common and accepted feature of liberal democracy, because that's exactly what it is. A national, ethnically diverse country, but tied together with the view that we are Americans. That is the common and accepted feature of liberal democracy. He made that statement. Rachel Maddow needs to read this article. We don't need to inflame the article. The article shows a very well-balanced approach of a smart man who came from a diverse background. He needs to be on the Second Circuit.
I'll have to hear from Than tomorrow. Running out of time today. Support the work of the ACLJ, though, so we get to work on this nominee and fight back against this anti-Semitism at all levels now we're seeing. As a support for Israel, that would mean you too, folks. ACLJ.org. Donate today.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at 8-